Clubroom Backstage.
Anya Schneider is talking to Booking United, an association to support all people of the music industry. Welcome Alexandra Lindblad from Neptune Agency and Marcus Nish, Return Booking.
We can shrink ourselves as small as possible, and the day that we can blow up again, we're going to do it. And I think the same for the artists. Just like, even if they might get just like a side job now, fair enough, you know, try something new. But yeah, once things keep on rolling, we will roll.
Today, I want to talk about Booking United, an association which was built in March this year in Berlin to help all agents, managers, freelancers, bands, live acts, producers, and of course, DJs in this crisis and pandemic. Because you might know, we are all without work and any income since the beginning of March. And I'm very happy and welcome two founders of Booking United, longtime friends and professional agents, I guess since more than almost 20 years, Alexandra Lindblad from Neptune Agency and Markus Nisch from Return Booking. Hello.
Hello, Anya.
Hello, Anya.
How are you today?
I'm really good today. Actually,
wow,
had a good day. Moods can swing a lot during this time, but today I'm feeling really good.
Marcus, and you?
I'm fine as well. I don't know why, but yeah, I'm good.
I think you get used to it, to do nothing somehow.
To be honest, there was a time, especially April, where it was a bit frustrating. Mm-hmm. It was maybe also the weather. Then we started at the beginning of May. We started with Booking United, mm-hmm. of like collecting agencies. Mm-hmm. We got so much response. We got so much feedback, which was really pushing you a lot as well. So, and then actually I was working for Booking United nearly the whole month of May. Mm-hmm. So this was a really busy one for me. Mm-hmm. And, the results, political-wise, the results, I'm not so happy, but the results from the whole community are very positive.
It's something what you actually need as a booker or agent, is my feeling, just like, because before we're going to go more into detail about Booking United and your amazing work, and to say thank you that you give us a voice, all these people, they're working in music business, I want to have a little introduction, because before Booking United, you had another life. I said it already, 20 years in business. So, Alexandra, what was the work before? What are the main artists you were looking after?
I'm in business since 1999. it's like the rosters have been constantly changing, evolving, transforming. So, asking me for my main artists that I ever worked with, it's an endless list, but to point out, it's Masuplex is one of my main artists right now. I took care of Dixon from Inner Visions and Markus Vorgulf and like some other artists from Inner Visions. I'm still with Henrik Schwarz, Konstantin Siebold, Atta, Sean Wright, and many, many others.
Oh, we have the global players here. And Markus, of course, is not ashamed. I know that you're also since a long time in this business, and you are based also in Berlin. And what's your main artist, just to make a little introduction?
I'm started in 98, nearly the same generation. And I was working with also style-wise a bit more... I was a bit more flexible, I would say. Mm-hmm. I worked with people like Paul van Dyk, with Len Farke, still working with Mendy, worked with Monica Cruz, working now with Entim, Superflu. Yeah. People from Israel, like Kadosh, an Argentinian based in Ibiza called Quinta, Amin K from Morocco, Animal Trainer, really good friends of all of us, I guess, in Switzerland. Juma Sound System from Copenhagen. Wow. So, yeah.
So there's a huge list here of global players in this room. I like this. So we are not accepting any emails, thank God. But honestly, you're not, I mean, when you go to school or when you're like, we're young, both of you, booker is not, or agent is not the job, what you want to be right away after school. And there's actually, you can't learn this, but how you get into this job, was there a lot of passion? How everything starts? I mean, that you feel this, because we're talking about the job and the different things later, but how you get into it?
I must say that I started relatively late with, I think, 27. And when I got out of school, I actually wanted to do something with music. But my father had some financial just like problems, so to say. So I couldn't afford to basically play work in an independent label, or just like I got these kind of offers, and I said I don't want to work in a major label. And then I turned towards business administration and all these things. But already in my youth, people said to me, "You're like a connecting dot. You know, you understand artists so well." And you always have such a good vision on business and basically to place artists somewhere. I mean, I had in my youth, it was mostly like painters or photographers or actors who were my friends. And then when I became an artist agent, I realized like, yeah, actually just like 20 years ago, somebody already told you that this would be actually your kind of just like profession that you should do. But I didn't know at that point that this even existed, to be an artist agent.
And you, Marcus?
Oh, I came to Berlin to study economics.
Oh.
Really, really boring idea.
But very helpful, I guess. No?
maybe later on it helped a bit. But it was in the 90s, and I started to go out, met people in the business at that time, in this small, new, upcoming electronic business. I was fascinated by the clubs, by the parties, by the DJs. Mm-hmm. Everything was very young. Everything was very fresh. Everything changed quite a lot. There were clubs opening for 1 year and closed and went to another venue. Everything was moving quite quickly. And someone asked me to help for one job in a nightclub. It became twice, three times that I worked for them. Then they started to ask me if I work once a week, three times a week, full time a month, mm-hmm. and slowly but surely I got I fall into this scene or I've got my job there.
Yeah. Alex.
So actually, I started as a record collector. I started collecting records in 95, 96. And I was asked to work in a record store. Not because my knowledge was so amazing. They needed a girl in that store because they were fighting constantly. And that's where I kind of just like got that like deeper knowledge back then into music. Which then led me to my job at Robert Johnson. And then when Robert Johnson started, and I actually didn't start as a booker, which I later became, but as a basically the main bouncer. I was the bouncer.
Whoa.
And 1 month later, my former business partner, Alma, asked me if I was thinking of joining her company.
But listen to you now, it seems to me that it was during this time more learning by doing, and you just get into this job and you had to be able to do it. Someone had to do it, something like this. And did you ever had the feeling that you could fail? Because, I mean, you were growing with the business, because back in the days it was like probably, I think fees were different, contracts were probably not existing, I have no idea. But did you ever had like a doubt that you could fail and that you could not do it? You were pretty sure that this is something for you?
I think when we worked in the 90s, I think as you said, it was quite a normal thing to work. A booking agent was working with a record label together, or maybe they're doing parties together, and it was like promoter, publisher, record label, maybe the studio next to it as well. So it was not so specialized like it is nowadays. Before it was more, sometimes it was an office with three or four people in it, and everyone was doing something different. But working together in a way. And of course, so that's why when I started, I also did an event at Arena, which is a big venue in Berlin. And we did this party for the first time. We expected 5,000 or 6,000 people. And I know that the day before we had pre-sales of like 100 or 200 tickets, which was horrible.
Which was a lot during this time, because there was no pre-sale back in the days, you know.
But still, we hoped for more pre-sales. And and yeah, of course. I mean, I remember that I got up in the morning and I was vomiting and I was so nervous. And of course, I thought I'm failing. I don't have the money on my bank account to finance this party. And at the end, yeah, we got more than 7,000 people, so everything was fine.
But after this long experience, did you ever take this risk again, like back in the days? Because now, I mean, it's every time it's a risk when you do a booking nowadays. We come to this later. But I mean, this time you were able to like, fuck it, give everything in and I lose my bank account or all my money.
I guess maybe because I was young and I was trying a lot of things. And when you get older, maybe you realize or you think as well, what is my where I'm good at, and then you focus on maybe doing one specific thing in a very good way, and then you try to reduce the other things that you tried before, and you're part of this getting specialized.
Just talking about, I mean, flexibility, because you both said it. You did everything from like records collector, record seller, promoting, being promoter. And then also Marco said he was a little bit flexible in the music. So you have to be also flexible as an agent. Did you ever did something what you didn't like or do you didn't feel the passion for it? I mean, sometimes you have, I mean, it's normal. It's that you sometimes, it's not your artist, it's not your music. We all human beings, it can happen to all of us. You don't have to say names, just if it happens.
No. I was pretty militant in the beginning, basically just taking an artist that I would be 100% just like being passionate about. And I'm tending to go back to this. At a certain point, of course, for me personally, just like, I would have never been able to take care of an artist that I totally dislike his music or its music or her music. So, but for me, personality of an artist counts actually more. And that we have kind of a common sense of visualizing where we want to go, where I can help the artist to bring her or him and her or his career. So I think this is for me a main strategy, to like a common and really good understanding and a deep knowledge about the person also. And actually the team around, because that's the thing. Because back in the days, I would do promotion. I would basically do management also. I still do management. I hate if people tell me you should book him there or then. And like, hey, then do my job if you want to tell me how I should do it. So I think I need to have a good understanding with the whole team. Which is now the thing.
Yeah, this was my next question, because when you both started, there was not really common to have a manager and to deal with it. And you made the career of a DJ, mostly, in my point of view. And nowadays you have to deal with this other people, if this is easy or your job changed somehow, you know. It's interesting that you said it. And all in all, for me as a DJ and also working so long in this business, I always had a lot of respect, because it's for me the unthankful jobs in all this business, because one day you've been loved and the other day you've been hated from all of the sides. You've been hated from the promoters, from the DJs. We have all this, you know, different feelings about this. What it makes psychological wise with you, because it must be also, I mean, if someone don't like my music, I go home and cry, you know, but I mean, you must have this experience that someone is shouting to you, I don't know, once a week.
Not that often, luckily.
Oh, wow, Alex. But it's unthankful, or you disagree?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, of course, there's this thing that people say about our job, that we have one of the hardest job in the business, or that it's you're always in between the sides or whatever. I actually really like it. I love it. And I mean, of course, maybe I became a little bit more tough in the past years, or bitchy.
But, it's a woman thing, no?
But then at the end of the day, I'm still super soft inside, and I might fall down 100 times. I'm always going to stand up, always.
Yeah. Oh, I have to, when I think about it, I have to say thank you to my friends in the 90s who listened to all my complaints and all my...
Yeah, but what keeps still your attention to do this? Is it money? Sorry to ask.
No, it's passion. It's 200% passion. I would say I'm a privileged did because my hobby is my job and my job is my hobby. Mm-hmm. So I'm really thankful for the people that I'm nowadays that I work with. And I really love my job, but it's about passion.
It's interesting and really good because money is such a big thing also. I mean, we all have to make a living and we're all in the same situation. This is also why you were founders of Booking United. But money was always, I mean, really big, in especially in the last years. And we all lived a very privileged life. And you both have, because when I look at your roster and your artist, you have to deal with a lot of numbers. But how you can do this, how you feel grounded. I saw a lot of people failed in this, you know, when you have to deal with so much fees, numbers, and you know what in the end is in your pocket. It's just like, you know.
I don't know. I mean, just like I think I've been always pretty good and also taking care of money of others or just like doing a good accounting. But at the end of the day, I think if a lot of people would picture me maybe in the position as I am, as a total bling bling person, but I'm actually a total hippie. I mean, you know, I don't have a fancy car. I mean, I like good clothes once in a while, but I can also live with just like whatever. I like good food. That's the most, that's the problem that just like right now, kind of just like having the absolute minimum that I could have never imagined to have so less money. That, yeah, you can't go to restaurants very often. You even have to look just like that you're not buying that much organic meat because I wouldn't buy any other meat. So, I mean, just like this limitation, but I'm fine with it. I mean, it's like it's kind of, it's a test phase, so... And we're going to survive it, I'm pretty sure.
And yeah, some of your artists, they grow really fast, and especially in your agency. So thank you for your good work. But did you ever have the feeling you had to ground them or to keep them a little bit away from this blink, blink life? Because some of the artists, they have this, even if you're not or we're not. Like a father, a mother.
I had some experiences. I had one artist which had a quite huge hit. His bookings or the attention was coming from 0 to 100 within months, in a really short time. And I tried, I was thinking about how can we protect him from such a change or from that he can deal with this success in such a short amount of time. Fortunately, during the time that I was working with him, I figured out that it was not necessary, because he's a really nice character. But I saw it with other people, some of the people I was working with, some of the people that I don't work with, and I will never work with. It can change. Mm-hmm. But thanks God, nowadays I'm in the position that I just will and work with people that I like and that I like their character as well. Not only their music, their character as well. Because yeah, life is too short to spend it with
bullshit. But honestly, now in the crisis, I mean, sometimes it shows really the character, you know. It's not when everything is not like pink anymore. So they're coming some bad sides out. We all experienced this in the past, you know. Internet is sometimes great for this. And actually, we are now in this crisis. We are all not working since the beginning of March, especially you. You have always, you have an office, you have people that work for you, because this amazing work, what you're doing, you can't do alone. I don't know how much people working for Marcos and Alex, but you are not doing this alone.
Well, I have two employees and three self-employed, so three freelancers. So the majority not full time, but yeah, I mean it's definitely a full company.
Yeah, and now during this crisis, one day on another, zero, which is also hard. And of course, after this privileged life what we had and this good work, and we did a lot of taxes, we did a lot of economic stuff, but I mean, this was for all of us very hard. But did you ever thought about to ask one of your artists to help you? Because before you build Booking United, or because we were all in a situation where no one knows how this feels, and or did even an artist offer you to help, which could be also?
It didn't come into my mind to ask them for help, but I got offered. I got offered help from many of my artists. I mean, they were really just like, I got, especially just like in the first weeks, or I mean, just like, yeah, I just got these calls saying, hey, are you fine? Do you need anything? Before, you just like, tell me if you need something. So I'm super thankful for that. Luckily, I still don't need it.
I mean, it depends on the artist as well. Mm-hmm. I have some artists who have quite a lot of success, money-wise as well. And in the beginning of the crisis, my main act, they offered me help.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But on the other side, I have some other artists as well. For example, I have a duo from Italy, Armonica, mm-hmm. and they are based in Milan and Rigione, which was part of the hotspot in Italy when it came to the coronavirus. So, I mean, that was very tricky as well to listen to their experiences, or they were not allowed to leave the house anymore, and there was no financial help from the state of Italy. So I mean, they were really there was no idea that they could help me. It was more or less like, how could we help you?
Really generous and really smart of you, but you both very smart, even that I think you might know that the market is going to be not the same like it was before, that there will be some changes if something starts again. No one knows it, but how do you think it's going to change, or are you prepared? How?
I think it's so hard we've been talking about all kinds of just like future visions in the first months of the lockdown. Now we see more than, for example, other people who are stuck within their nation, because we have so much contact with other territories. Mm-hmm. So we see suddenly people from other countries are writing you and say like, hey, maybe just like we're opening up the market again, so are you interested to send your artist? But nevertheless, I think it's so hard to make any prediction how it's going to be, what's going to change, because we don't know which promoters are still going to be there. We don't know if they're going to regulate clubs completely. I think there's going to be countries where there might be just like more or harsher restrictions, other than countries which have kind of just like the celebration of life already in their blood. And they're like, of course the clubs are going to be opened again. So it's really hard to say what's going to happen. And but of course it's going to be more competitive. And I hope that it's going to be not too sad for many people.
Yeah.
I think it will change, definitely. I mean, if we see the world, there are so many countries where the economy will break down. Mm-hmm. Where if you see what's going on in South America, which was a big market for all of our artists as well, that's horrible. I mean, and we don't know when and how this will end in South America. Here in Europe, there will be the small, limited events will maybe start sooner or later. There are some in Switzerland, something in Israel is going. Finland is maybe starting as well. Maybe here in Germany, we can do either smaller open-air events somewhere in the sand, in some beach clubs, mm-hmm. or so with some distance. But as well, I think there is a whole generation of young people which didn't get any money in the last 3-4 months. And at the moment, we don't know. I mean, there are still some territories where they don't earn money. I mean, how should these people have the money to travel, to go to a party, to go to Ibiza, to go to Berlin? It's not all. I mean, we are, as a business, we have our clubs and we have our DJs. But there's also like the restaurants, the taxi drivers, the flights. I mean, yeah, fine. Lufthansa will start again bringing people to Berlin, but who has the money to come to Berlin and to spend the money here? And for what? If all the clubs are closed, if the concert halls are still closed, theaters and operas? I mean, people don't come to Berlin to enjoy the beautiful game of Hertha BSC Berlin.
You never know.
Or to see the Brandenburg Gate for the fifth or sixth time. I mean, so this is something we have to deal in the future, definitely. There will be a big change. Money is missing, and as of now, we don't know when the venues are allowed to open again. And which venues, and the restrictions.
But this is even more for me saying I have much more respect for this. The market gets smaller, but it's amazing that you're in this situation, even built like this Booking United. This is why we're here. That means you put all agents together in one association and have a talk and find solution. And normally, if I look to this, you are in somehow competitive. But how what was the initial idea to start this and to talk to all your colleagues and bring them together?
I think just like seeing the development and just like politically and seeing that there might be no, that we wouldn't have a voice in terms of just like asking for help. Because I mean, I think theaters are going to reopen again, or just like, I mean, there's like so many businesses are reopening. We as club or like electronic music scene, we're closed until there will be, or we're fully closed until there will be a proper vaccination. And just like I felt personally so voiceless. I was, and then basically Marcus wrote me and I said, oh my God, thank you. Thank you that you and Juliana are putting this together, and I really want to join you because I've been in my head, I've been talking to politicians and I've been trying to see what can we do. I mean, today is actually a pretty sad day because they just finalized the next monetary package from the state. And there will be no help for all the just like workers in any kind of cultural institutions if they're working self-employed, mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to their private costs. Mm-hmm. So we get business costs covered, which is great, but at the end of the day, they tell us you're unemployed, mm-hmm. and this is really, really sad.
Yeah, I think one part of our business, or maybe how you say, before Corona, or before this crisis, I think we had a kind of a motto, and nearly all of us had a kind of a motto: if the artist is fine, we are fine as well. So if our artist is successful and healthy and stuff like that, then we are healthy and successful as well. This was the first time that our artists are not healthy, they are not successful, that they can't be successful, that they are prohibited to perform. Mm-hmm. And out of that, we suffered. And I think that was the time to step forward and to say, now we have to do something for our own, because our artists can't help us. They are not allowed to help us, or they are not allowed to do what they did in the past. And I think you said competitive, yes, but on the other side, I think that shows the success and how many agencies now from different music genres, music also not electronic, or nearly everyone from the electronic scene in Berlin joined us now.
How many members you have?
Yeah, so we have 120 agencies now.
Wow.
And
120, I just want to repeat it. Hello? 120 agencies. And how many artists?
More than 2,500.
Bam. Yeah, which is quite big, and really thankful and a lot of respect to build this. But Alexandra said it, there just came out a program today for help from the German government, which is not really useful for all the people that work in creative business. So are you planning something different? Are you nearly to give up? I mean, you're not looking like me that you're a character to give up, you know, after all this what I heard.
Maybe we have to explain a little bit, especially for people outside of Germany.
Yes.
Our system, we have 16 districts, mm-hmm. like a bit like political-wise, maybe different, but a bit like the 50 in the States, and we have one capital, or like the state policy. And here in Berlin, we have a government which immediately in March started with a program, helped the self-employed, the small businesses, the artists with a program. They paid within 3 days 5,000 euros to people in need, and that helped us a lot. That helped us a lot for March, April, and May. But it was such a huge program that the city of Berlin, or like the government of Berlin, said immediately, I mean, that's it. We can't do more. That was far more than we can. That now you have to ask for the state of Germany. The state of Germany has a completely different politic, a different view of us, the artists, this nightlife, this creative industry. There we are forgotten, or we are not important. And so it's a bit of conflict in politics of like, in Berlin, they hear us, they support us, they are with us. Even now, this new program, our minister of economics in Berlin, she criticized immediately the program and said like, that doesn't help our artists here in our city. So that's a bit like the two different ways of seeing politics in Germany at the moment.
But are you thinking, because it's so great and so big, and of course now I know a lot of listeners say, oh my God, I wish I could have this too. I mean, we heard about that there are some organizations, associations somewhere in Europe. We heard about Spanish people, Italian people that get organized. But are you planning to go out of Germany, or is it at the moment just too much?
I think it's pretty difficult to, first of all, get a full overview. But that's basically what we're trying to get. We're trying to get an overview of where are we standing in which country. Also, once we have the overview, also we can say, okay, listen. So this is how the Norwegian or the Belgium or the Italian government is handling it. We need to do something. So I think, I mean, of course, just like the decisions that were announced today, just like are not what we expected, but this is still not like the last word. We will still try and fight.
Yes, and there are different ways to fight. Sorry, Markus, to interrupt you.
I think when we started in May, we knew that this will be a long dance. It will be not a quick one. And we knew that we have to fight against barriers.
We're still in there, yeah.
And so, is it disappointing today? Yes. Did we expect it?
Yes.
Unfortunately, yes as well.
But did one of your artists already gave up? Did you hear something? Because I know that in the associations there are many DJs. I spoke to a lot of them. I had some different atmosphere. I heard vibes. And it's quite diverse how people feel about it. But did you ever heard about that someone said, okay, you know what, I'm looking for a new job? I mean, this is sometimes what you heard, for example, from the families. Like, you know, mother said, oh, what are you doing now? And I think, well, what do you mean? Do you think I throw away 20 years of my structures and my business and my passion? It's not that easy. We live this life and we decided to live this.
I think there's nothing wrong about looking for a temporary job. And I mean, just like, but I think, I don't know of anyone who said like, oh, the future's so insecure. Maybe I should start working in a bookstore now or something like that. I mean, it's like, as the same as an agent, DJing, producing music, it's a passion. And I mean, it's like, it's not, and plus also, I mean, it's like, it's not that we have so big costs, you know. If you have a big shop and you have to just like invest a lot of money to keep it running, we can shrink ourselves as small as possible. And the day that we can blow up again, we're going to do it. And I think the same for the artists, just like, even if they might get just like a side job now, fair enough, you know, try something new. But yeah, once things keep on rolling, we will roll.
Some of the DJs changed their job because in the last couple of weeks they were a full-time daddy and a full-time mother.
Absolutely.
No, all of my artists, they were they were busy in the studio. They mm-hmm. produced live sets, podcasts. They were working on new tracks, on new albums. I just have one artist. He was a painter before his DJ career. Mm-hmm. So now in the Corona crisis, he said, like, maybe I should start painting again because nobody I'm allowed to paint whenever I want and to sell paintings whenever will do that in the in between. Mm-hmm. And if the clubs are open again, then I'm back with my DJing. That was the only one.
Yeah, but great words. Thank you so much. When we can blow up again, we're going to do this. I think you can't say it better.
Thank you, Anya.
Thank you. Thank you for joining the Club Room Backstage. Thank you for being here in the studio with us. And please join and support if you want bookingunited.org. We are happy to be there for you and we are growing and it's a really, really good idea and association. Thank you for doing this. This was an episode of the Club Room Backstage. We will be back in 2 weeks and we're going to have some other Berlin guest. Fjak will be in the studio with me. I can't wait for this. So stay safe. Until then, tschüss.
Clubroom Backstage.
Produced at Blackout Studios.